fatigue. He felt strangely and totally exhausted, as if he had been climbing for hours. Then he realized that the gas was beginning to affect him. "The sensors have picked you up," Stone said, "but you have only 10 more yards." Hall glanced back and saw one of the sensor units. It was aimed directly at him. As he watched, it fired a small puff of bluish smoke spurting from the barrel. There was a whistling sound, and then something struck the wall next to him and fell to the ground. "Missed that time. Keep going." Another dart slammed into the wall near his neck. He tried to hurry, tried to move faster. Above, he could see the door with the plain white markings, level 4. Stone was right, less than 10 yards to go. A third dart, and then a fourth. The voice said, "There are now 2 minutes to self-destruct." Hall continued to climb. He felt sluggish, like a 400-pound man, but he continued to climb. He reached the next door just as a dart slammed into the wall near his cheekbone. The door had a seal and handle. He tugged at the handle while still another dart struck the wall. "That's it. That's it. You're going to make it," Stone said. "There are now 90 seconds to self-destruct," the voice said. The handle spun. With a hiss of air, the door came open. He moved into an inner chamber just as a dart struck his leg with a brief, searing wave of heat. And suddenly, instantly, he was 1,000 pounds heavier. He moved in slow motion as he reached for the door and pulled it shut behind him. "You're in airlock," Stone said. "Turn the next door handle." Hall moved toward the inner door. It was several miles away, an infinite trip, a distance beyond hope. His feet were encased in lead. His legs were granite. He felt sleepy and achingly tired as he took one step, and then another, and another. "There are now 60 seconds to self-destruct." Time was passing swiftly. He could not understand it, as if in a dream. He turned the handle. "Fight the drug. You can do it," Stone said. What happened next was difficult to recall. He saw the handle turn and the door open. He was dimly aware of a woman, a technician, standing in the hallway as he staggered through. She watched him with frightened eyes as he took a single clumsy step forward. "Help me," he said. She hesitated. Her eyes got wider, and then she ran down the corridor away from him. He watched her stupidly and fell to the ground.
45 seconds to self-destruct, the voice said.
And then he was angry because the voice was female and seductive and recorded, because someone had planned it this way, had written out a series of inexorable statements like a script, which was now being followed by the computers, together with all the polished, perfect machinery of the laboratory. It was as if this was his fate, planned from the beginning, and he was angry. Later, Hall could not remember how he managed to crawl the final distance, nor could he remember how he was able to get to his knees and reach up with the key. He did remember twisting it in the lock and watching as the green light came on again.
"Self-destruct has been canceled," the voice announced, as if it were quite normal.
Hall slid to the floor, heavy, exhausted, and watched as blackness closed in around him. A voice from far away said,
"He's fighting it."
"Is he?"
"Yes, look."
And then a moment later, Hall coughed as something was pulled from his throat, and he coughed again, gasped for air, and opened his eyes. He looked around the room. He was in the infirmary on level 4. On the far wall was a television monitor which showed Stone's face.
"Hello," Hall said. Stone